Joining us now, always a pleasure to bring on my next guest. Very gracious with his time. Comes on whenever asked, and I do appreciate that a lot. Secretary of State John Merrill is on the line. Secretary Merrill, how are you this morning?
Hey, Jeff. Great to be with you again, as always.
It's good to get you on here. Secretary, well, first, before we get into the other matters here, but last night, special election in the 26th Senate district up in Montgomery. Did that election appear to go as planned?
Yes, there were no concerns that were introduced. Everything went very smoothly, and the results were what were anticipated, with Representative Kirk Hatcher securing the Senate seat that was previously held by Senator David Burkett, and he will become the newest senator in the body. There'll still be one vacancy because of the vacancy of Senator Cam Ward going to pardons and paroles, but now there'll be 34 members, and then we'll start the procedure for the administrative calendar to be introduced to fill Representative Hatcher's seat in the Alabama State House of Representatives.
It's like a revolving door. It just goes and goes and goes. But that's the way these things sometimes work out. Let's get to the issue I asked you to come on about, and just to clear up any confusion or at least offer you opportunity to kind of clarify what had happened here. You know, all of these reports surfaced last week that John Merrill was backing no excuse absentee voting, and that was a welcome sign from, I think, a media that sort of leans to the left. But it got a lot of attention to a lot of Republicans. You came on my colleague Sean Sullivan's program yesterday, or day before yesterday, saying that you're not for that, but you were looking at things more comprehensively, as you do after any election. You want to get some loose ends tied up and some things tweaked and corrected so that the next one goes better. And that this was just a part of that. Can you walk us through where you were initially on no excuse absentee voting and where you are right now?
Well, certainly, Jeff, and you're very kind to ask me questions about this particular piece of legislation. You know, each and every year after the election is over, we always evaluate the administration of the elections process, and then we determine what kind of bills we need to promote, what kind of issues need to be addressed. And as we're doing that in the Office of the Secretary of State, there are legislators from around the state who are also coming up with their own list of things that they think need attention. Now, we were very, very aggressive in our legislative agenda this year. We had 21 pieces of legislation that we were going to introduce. And one of the things that we saw in my legislative liaison, Grace Newcomb, reviews all of the bills that have to do with the elections process. And she came to me and said, these are some of the bills that are being put forth by members from around the state. This is a list of these. Where are we on them? And we talked about them, and we were supportive of some of those. We were opposed to some of them, but one of them that caught our attention was one by State Representative Laurel Hall in Huntsville, and it was for no excuse absentee voting. I said, well, we're opposed to no excuse absentee voting, but I want to see what the bill looks like. So she showed me, and we looked at it, and we knew we had some things in the absentee process that we wanted to tighten up. And so we looked at that. Then I went to Huntsville, sat down with Representative Hall, talked to her about her bill and talked to her about the things that we wanted to see done. And she said, well, I don't know why we could not work together and make that happen with this piece of legislation. So one of the things that we knew was that we had just had the most secure election in the history of the state of Alabama. Now, it's one thing to say that, Jeff. It's another thing to prove it. And we proved it because we were recognized as the most secure state in the nation with a report that came out 2.5 weeks ago that had Alabama as the standard for security in elections and excellence in elections. And we're very, very proud of that. But because the 2020 cycle is the one they used, obviously, we had a modification of the absentee election process. we actually allowed every voter in the state that wanted to vote absentee to be able to do so by marking the box that says I'm ill or infirmed and unable to appear at my polling site on election day. The reason we were able to do that is because I invoked Title 17-11-3, which enabled me to allow each one of our voters to be able to do that. And in doing so, we had 331,000 people that submitted absentee ballot applications, and 305,000 voters successfully returned their absentee ballot. And not one person was identified of any of those 305,000 that submitted an absentee application or an absentee ballot with apparent nefarious intent. In saying that, we thought, okay, well, this vehicle may be able to help us accomplish what we want to do, which was to change the deadline for the submission of the absentee ballot, number one, because right now you have to submit it 5 days prior to the election. And frankly, that's just not enough time to turn around the ballot and have it sent back to the voter and successfully received by the absentee election manager. So instead of having that at 5 days when you're doing it by mail, we wanted to change the deadline to 10 days. But if you vote in person absentee, you have up until 5 days to get it done. Number two, we wanted to make sure that the postmark requirement that was on there that says it has to be postmarked by a certain day was removed, because that language is not even important. Because if the ballot is not received by election day at noon, your ballot doesn't count. It doesn't matter if you mailed your ballot in and it's postmarked on September the 3rd. If the election is November the 3rd and the ballot's received on November the 4th, then it doesn't count. So the postmark conversation shouldn't even exist, and we didn't want our state to be opened up to any potential lawsuits as an option. Number three, we wanted to make sure that the absentee ballot manager had adequate time to open up the ballot. So it's always been that they started opening them on noon on election day, but we wanted to change that law to make it read that you could start at 7 a.m. on election day. And we got a special order from the governor in 2020 to make sure that that happened. And so this way it would be codified. Last but not least, we added two additional workers for each absentee election manager's office in the 68 jurisdictions in the 67 counties to be able to have the option of having those workers, if necessary, to make sure they properly process all the absentee applications and all the absentee ballots. So we thought this vehicle would be a good one to move it on, because it would give the Alabama legislature the option to discuss whether or not they wanted to have simplified absentee voting through the removal of the excuse provisions, either through the application or through the affidavit envelope, and then give these other items consideration as well. Now, we've never been supportive of having absentee excuses removed from the application or the affidavit envelope straight up, because if we had been, we would just let Representative Hall's bill move as it was, and then we would have offered our support of that legislation. This is not the first time that bill's been introduced, probably won't be the last, but we've never supported that. But we did think that it was time for that discussion to occur, because we had already had the most secure election in the history of the state, and we had been identified as the national leader in election integrity. And everything we've done, Jeff, and you know this, for the last 6 years, 1 month, and 15 days I've been the secretary, everything we've done with legislation or administrative changes have all been designed to make it easier to vote and harder to cheat. But with these changes that we introduced, with other conversations that occurred with legislative leaders, with other leaders, circuit clerks, probate judges, we realize this bill is not going to pass. And since we were not supportive of removing the absentee excuse provision, then we decided that we would drop our support of this legislation And I don't think that the legislature is going to continue to debate this issue. And then we would bring another instrument which would allow us to be able to move forward with those things I just introduced to you in a new bill. And that's what we intend to do. Now, when Representative Hall and I talked about it, I encouraged her that it would probably be better if she did not advance the legislation. We were not going to be able to continue to support the legislation as it was, and that I did not feel that the legislature was going to be interested in advancing that in a discussion any farther. So I encouraged her to talk to the chair to have the bill carried over basically in a permanent state, and that's what she did this morning, and that bill received no additional consideration in Constitution, Campaigns, and Elections.
Joined by Secretary of State John Merrill here on the program. You mentioned Grace Newcomb. She spoke before a panel at the legislature, a hearing, and she talked about no excuse absentee voting. She talked about how difficult it is to enforce the excuse provision, and very rarely is it enforced. Justice said there's some merit to doing this, that you would increase voter turnout.
It's not enforced. Yeah, it's not enforced any circuit clerk in the state. There's one circuit clerk that does check the excuses on the application. Carla Woodall in Houston County, who we work with very closely. As a matter of fact, five of the six convictions on voter fraud that we've had since I've been the secretary came from Houston County with her support and assistance. But no circuit clerk in the state compares the absentee excuses on the application and the absentee excuses on the affidavit envelope.
But the question, I guess, is that the indication was from her that this was increasing voter turnout, or voter participation, I should say. And that's something to consider, that you want to increase that. You want to get that statistic up. So is there any merit to doing something with no excuse absentee voting? Do you see that either while it has these problems, does it have positives?
Well, look, I don't know that needs to be a consideration when we don't have a concern about turnout. I mean, you've heard me say this. I'm surprised that we've been talking for 15 minutes already and you haven't asked me to give stats, but I'll give them to you anyway. You know, since January the 19th of 2015, we've registered 1,805,272 new voters. We now have 3,584,201 registered voters in the state of Alabama. Those numbers are unprecedented, unparalleled, unsurpassed in the history of the state. Per capita, no state in the union has done what we've done. And in the last seven elections in a row, we've broken the record for voter participation as well. I'm very, very proud of that. I'm also proud of the fact that we've removed more than 1.3 million people from the voter rolls because those people moved away, they passed away, or they've been put away. And we want to make sure that Alabama continues to be the gold standards for elections that we are. But obviously, absentee excuse provisions being removed is something that is very concerning to a number of people in our state. Look, we've had people that are speaking out on the absentee process that don't know the difference between an absentee and a golf tee. So I think it's important to note where we stand, which is we are not for removing the absentee excuse provisions, but we do think that issues need to have discussion and debate, and the instrument that we chose featured that as an option. And obviously, when we realized this is not going to have a productive conversation in the Alabama legislature because the members of the body are not ready to have that conversation, so we want these other things to become law because they will strengthen the absentee process. And so that's what we wanted to advance, and so we're bringing another bill to do so.
So just for clarity's sake, and we'll get you out of here on this question, at no time, at no point, were you for no excuse absentee voting, or you were, but with some provisions added to it? But was there ever a point in time that your office supported what appears to be the dominant theme of Laura Hall's legislation?
Well, we certainly were supportive of HB 396 because of what it was going to accomplish in the process, and that is to strengthen the absentee process the way that we introduced. But for us to say that we simply support absentee no-excuse voting would be incorrect. I do think there are a number of things that need to be addressed related to that issue, but this is not the time, the place, or the opportunity for that discussion to take place. If we had ever been strictly supportive of no-excuse absentee, we have had 6 legislative sessions. This would be the 7th one, to introduce legislation to say the Office of the Secretary of State strictly supports the removal of the absentee excuse provision for Alabama's absentee election process. We've never done that. We never will do that. We're not supportive of that. We do think we need to evaluate all the things related to the elections process and streamline it to make it as simple as it can possibly be. But we're never going to do anything to hurt what we've already built as the most secure election system in the nation, especially since I've been here, Jeff. We passed 36 bills through the legislature. 23 of those have been directly related to the absentee, to the elections process.
Right.
And everything we've done has made it easier to vote and harder to cheat in Alabama. That's why we're the gold standard.
Sir T, we are out of time, but we thank you for yours, and we'll do this again real soon.
Thank you.
That was Secretary of State John Merrill.